The following is an unrehearsed interview with Iowa Senator Chuck Grassley. Participating in today's public affairs program is Jamie Whitney of the Pocahontas Record Democrat and Nick Johansson with the Red Oak Express. Nick, you can start us off with a question for Senator Grassley.
Good afternoon, Senator. There's been a lot of talk amongst the states on an increase of minimum wage. Has there been anything going on at the federal level, any kind of discussion on minimum wage? And what are your thoughts on an increase?
Yeah, there hasn't been anything other than the White House proposal. I don't think it's going to fly in a time when we have the lowest involvement, the lowest percentage involvement of people out of our 320 people in the workforce at about 62.5%, lowest since 1978. Increasing the minimum wage, according to the Congressional Budget Office, at this particular time, or maybe a year ago when they made this announcement, would increase unemployment by 500,000 and possibly even 750,000. So I don't think you want to do anything that's going to increase unemployment when the economy is so fragile. So I think that Congress will not interfere with any state and local governments that are increasing the minimum wage if they want to do it. And that may be a better way to do it, because let's say a $12 minimum wage in New York with the cost of living there might be justified, where an increase of that amount in Iowa would not be justified based upon the fact of the lower cost of living in Iowa compared to New York. Whatever the ratio is, it could be very much different in Iowa than it is in New York. So I think we have state and local governments increasing minimum wage. The extent to which that's their decision, I would go along with it. And I wouldn't want Congress, even though we have the constitutional authority to preempt them, to preempt them.
Good afternoon, Senator. People in Northwest Iowa, and I'm sure across the state, are wondering about the status of the 2018 Farm Bill. Has the Ag Committee started talking about the bill in earnest, and what would you like to see included in the next Farm Bill?
Well, first of all, we have not started talking about it, and I don't expect until about a year from now to be serious consideration of a 2018 Farm Bill. But when it does come, I think that there is one thing that is the most important safety net for American farmers, and that is to preserve the crop insurance program. Now, remember that you can't take that for granted, even though we've had it around for a long time, because just 1 year ago now, they were trying to take $3 billion out of the crop insurance program. That would hurt the program. And not only that, but it would violate the principle of not opening up the farm bill in the middle of a farm bill. So we were able to make that latter argument and preserve crop insurance the way it is. There'll still be people after crop insurance between now and 2018 that we have to be alerted to. But I think if we won the battle last year, we can win it this year. And preserving crop insurance, it's not the only safety net for farmers, but preserving it, it would be my number one goal.
Any thoughts or anything going on at the federal level regarding the low farm income that's going on around the state of Iowa?
No, and I think for reasons that I just talked about. One, it's pretty difficult to say you shouldn't open up the farm bill in case of people wanting to take money out of crop insurance and then turn around and open it up because we have low grain prices. I think a year from now, you might hear a lot of talk, and you'll probably be asking this question more times a year from now than right now. I think there's still some farmers who are hurt. Every grain farmer's losing money today, but there's still some carryover from the good years of $7 corn, and the fact that land is more paid for this year than other years. Like in the 1980s, only about 25% of the land was paid for. Today, there's more capital, less stress with 75% of the land being paid for.
Senator Grassley, looks like there's going to be a vote on gun control measures taking place in the Senate. Do you see any possibility for bipartisan support for any gun control measures following this Paris incident?
Well, what we're going to do to make sure that there's bipartisan support where there's bipartisan support is that we're going to have both pro-gun and anti-gun amendments. So we'll get a chance to vote on it and let Senate make a decision. So we're at least going to discuss, as was done yesterday. We're going to have some votes. I'm not sure exactly the language on the amendment, but there will be votes. But I think one thing you want to remember is this person who killed mass murder of 49 people, there isn't a single thing being talked about on the Senate floor that would have kept him from buying his guns. He bought them legally. So to some extent, the gun debate by the Democrats is cover for the fact that they do not want to take on radical Islamic terrorism. And they don't want to discuss the miserable leadership of this president who withdrew troops from Iraq, and by withdrawing troops from Iraq, created a vacuum that ISIS filled, and ISIS is the source of this radical Islam terrorism that's killing Americans. And they don't want to talk about that. They want to talk about guns. And so we got to make sure we remind the American people that the reason we had those killings, it's because, as the FBI director said, this guy was radicalized, and he was radicalized by that philosophy.
Do you have any personal thoughts on the releases that have been going on with the Guantanamo prisoners?
Yeah. I will vote for an amendment not to let Guantanamo go to Castro. I will vote against. I will vote for amendments that keep the prisoners in Guantanamo, not here. And if I could stop the president's authority to release the people that are releasing that go back to kill Americans or Europeans, I would do that as well. That's my attitude towards Gitmo.
Senator, you supported the bipartisan protections for military whistleblowers provisions in the NDAA. Can you explain what new protections will be made for whistleblowers in the military?
Yes. Quite frankly, any place in government, it's miserable how they're treated. Whistleblowers are patriotic people. The President of the United States and his cabinet can't know what's going on with 2 million employees. So whistleblower protection laws are there, but they aren't enough. And this adds to the military whistleblower protection laws, because it's worse in the Defense Department than most places, to make sure that these people get justice and are not punished for it by giving additional review than what they have now. And it also calls upon the Inspector General to get more involved in the protection of whistleblowers.
I suppose as a follow-up to the NDAA question, it includes a policy for the first time that require young women to register for selective service. Did you support that portion of the bill?
Well, I've supported it publicly, but there is a Lee amendment up that would have a study before it could go into effect. And I haven't made up my decision on voting on the Lee amendment. Either way, I think since women can volunteer, and we have a policy that they ought to be able to do anything a man can do as long as they can meet the qualifications, then I think we don't want to separate women from the draft in that particular instance. But first of all, I hope that we don't have a draft. We haven't had one since 1972. I think a professional military is better. But you do need a list of people who could be called on in an emergency if we don't get enough people to join. So women ought to have equal status with men. Thank you, Nick and Jamie, for participating in today's public affairs program. This has been Senator Chuck Grassley reporting to the people of Iowa.